Now, this is traditionally a Christmas passage. And we already had Christmas, right? Oh, and here's another thing. I'm going to talk to you guys, and I think if I'm used to preaching in Romanian. I've been preaching in Romanian for 7 years, and I barely speak in English when I preach. So if I stutter and mess up, I always have to apologize in Romanian because I got really bad grammar when I speak Romanian. But they understand me. But I was like, forgive my accent. If you know what I mean, just go with that. So if I make mistakes in English, it's because I'm not used to speaking English. But what I want to say to y'all is that in Matthew chapter 2, we have the story of the wise men. And we spoke last week was Christmas, right? Oh, this is what I was going to tell you about, the reason I told you about the language. My church is between 12 and 20 people on any given week. And when I preach, I talk to them. And I expect them to talk back to me. And I'm kind of used to that. So if I ask you a question, feel free to talk right back to me and give me an answer. It doesn't have to be right. It doesn't even have to be relevant to what I'm saying. Just I want to hear something. It helps me because that's how I'm used to preaching now. And I know with a big group like this, it's a little different. But feel free to talk back to me. I won't get too disturbed. In fact, I'm so used to preaching in Romanian with bad grammar that I'm used to being corrected while I preach. I'll say a word wrong and they'll say, and the whole church goes together how to say it correctly. Say it like this. Okay. Yeah, like that. But as a native English speaker, there's so many Latin words that are hard for me to say. I can't roll my R's and things like that. But back to our Matthew chapter 2. Last week was Christmas, but the reason I want to talk about the wise men this week is because when you look at the Bible, what's the next thing that happens after Jesus' birth, the nativity and the manger? The wise men. That's next week. It may have been 2 years later, but the wise men traditionally, when you look at a manger scene, there's always the camels and the donkeys and the baby Jesus and the angel on top of them, and there's usually some camels and some wise men. Well, that's not how the story went. We'll see here in the story that the wise men came later, so that's why I want to talk about that this week. So this sounds like a Christmas message, but it's not. This is about the wise men. So let's open up Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Matthew 2, 1 says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him." Now, it's interesting. I preach in Romanian, and so I see the way they translate words, the way we translate words, and it really actually enhances my understanding of the Bible. And I'm not one to go back and say, well, the Greek says this and the Hebrew says that, because I don't know Greek and I don't know Hebrew. I do know Romanian. But in Romanian, they call them the Magi. And you've probably heard that term. The Magi, well, in the times of Jesus, the Magi were wise men. These specifically wise men are wise because God says they're wise. Our Bible says they're wise men. But the word that came out of the Greek and that they use in Romanian is magos. They're the Magi. They would be magicians, but they'd also be known as scientists, astronomers, astrologers. And the bottom line is, these were the guys that the people of their day looked up to and respected to as people who knew something about what's going on in this world, both spiritually, physically, scientifically. These were the wise men. They interpreted dreams, they knew, understood nature, they understood times and seasons. And so that's what we're looking at here. These particular wise men probably had studied some scripture. And when you read commentaries, things like that, you find out that they came looking for the king of the Jews. Now, why would they do that if they hadn't been in the scriptures, if they hadn't been in the Word of God? And there's speculation by some scholars, and I tend to agree with it, that they probably learned from Daniel when Daniel was in Babylon in the east. And you can see some, if you want to write down some notes, in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, you see a prophecy of Jesus' birth. And in Daniel 7, verses 13 through 14, you see prophecies about the coming Messiah and where he was going to be born. And these wise men had most likely studied scriptures. Now, it didn't say they were followers of Jesus or that they were followers of God, but they were wise and they had studied the scriptures. And you know, they came to Bethlehem by faith. They had seen the signs. They had seen God's word show them that the king of the Jews was going to be born in Bethlehem. Well, they didn't see the Bethlehem part, but they saw the king of the Jews was going to be born, and they came to seek him. It's interesting because these men were scientists, and they were scriptures, they studied the scriptures, they were astronomers, and God spoke to them in their language. He showed them a sign in the heavens, a star. You know, it's the point you can take from this is God wants to speak to you where you're at. You know, when Jesus was announced, when his birth was announced, first he came to Mary, and he came right where she was. We see Mary, she says, she was the handmaiden of the Lord. She was in her room, and God came right where she was at, and he said, you're gonna birth a son, you're going to call him Emmanuel. You're going to call him Jesus, for he's going to save his people. God came to Zacharias when he was working in the temple. That was Zacharias' place and his place of passion, where he liked to work, where he wanted to be, and God came to the temple where he was at and spoke to him and said, you're going to have a son. He's going to be telling people about this coming Messiah. He went to the shepherds that were working in the field with their sheep, came right to where they were at, and God announced with an angel, Jesus is coming. God has announced to all these people that Jesus is coming using his word, but he spoke in their language, and God's given us his word in our language, hasn't he? And what's it do? It points us to Jesus, doesn't it? Every scripture in the Bible points you to Jesus. And my point about this is that God wants to meet you right where you're at. You don't have to go looking for some star in heaven. You don't have to look for signs and wonders. Just right where you're at, ask God to talk to you, and then open his word, and he'll speak to you. He wants to speak to you. Matthew 2, verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, the Bible says here that Herod heard the news from these wise men, and it troubled him. He was scared. And all Jerusalem, the whole city, why do you think that was? Why was Herod scared? Why was he upset? Kingmakers are showing up. What was his job? King. King Herod. Wait a minute. You're saying there's another king coming, and he's the king of the Jews? I thought I was the king of the Jews. He was a little bit troubled. And why was all Jerusalem upset? If the king's upset, everybody's upset. Ain't nobody happy, right? Well, I think that's all true, but I also think that when the word of God is preached, I think those that don't know him fear and tremble. I think that when the word of God is preached, I think we need to fear and tremble. These wise men came proclaiming the word of God. The king of the Jews is going to be born here. Where is he? And the whole city was troubled because there was the news of the king. The word of God is being preached. And, you know, not to mention the fact that magi and wise men in those days were respected. You know, in Romania, when I turn on my television, I watch the evening news or the morning news or whatever it is. Usually it's the morning news I watch. About 15 minutes in the show, they come on with... Now, Romania considers themselves a Christian country. They're 90% Orthodox. And if you ask them, Orthodox Church is the original church. They still have a church in Jerusalem. That's the first one, they say. So they're very religious, yet they're also very superstitious. So 15 minutes into the news program, a lady comes on, and guess what she starts telling you about? Astrology, your horoscope. So it's usually about that time. I put it on mute. I go get another cup of coffee. By the time I get back, astrology's all done with, and they're on to the other scandals of the day. But it's interesting that even today we have magi, astrologers, and things like that. But people believe that stuff. I've been witness to conversations. I'm sitting in a coffee shop or on a train and hear people talking about their sign. And, what's the Pisces going to do today? Or I don't even know all that stuff, what all that stuff means. But the point is, people believe that in those days and even today. But the scripture has power. Because, you know, in Ecclesiastes 8:4, it says, where the word of the king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Where the word of a king is, there is power. And the word of God is power. And that's why all Jerusalem was trembling and why Herod the king was trembling. Because there is power in the word of God. You know, I think about the time when Jesus was about to be betrayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the soldiers came and they said, we're looking for Jesus. And what did Jesus say? I am he. And what happened? They all fell down. They went backwards and fell down because there's power in the word of a king. Let's continue reading in Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And he said unto, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And then they quotes the prophet from Micah. It says, and thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor who shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. For when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Spoiler alert, he didn't have any intention of worshiping the baby Jesus. You know, it's interesting, Herod calls, who does he call? The chief scribes, the Pharisees. Why would he call them? You'd think they know the scriptures, right? I mean, that's their job, to know the scriptures. So he says, okay, well, I got these guys coming from Babylon or somewhere out east somewhere, and they're telling me there's going to be a king of the Jews born. Well, I'll ask some Jewish scholars. I'll ask some Jewish religious leaders. What does the Bible say about this? So he calls them, thinking they're going to know. Well, if they'd known, they'd have been there, right? Maybe they did know. Why didn't they know that Jesus had been born already? Why didn't they just say, well, they did say he's going to be born in Bethlehem, because that's what the prophet said, and they didn't say, yeah, they hadn't figured it out yet. Now, again, spoiler alert, you find out later, it was Jesus, through Jesus' ministry, these guys weren't interested in all in having another king. They were more interested in their own ministries. They had a good thing going. They didn't want Jesus coming along and spoiling it for them. They didn't want to ruin their plush life. Now, in the passage, we saw Bethlehem and a quote back to Micah. I'm going to come back to that. I want you to remember the city of Bethlehem, because that's going to be my next point after we get through this little passage here. We're going to come back to Bethlehem. But this passage tells us that Herod believed the word of God. He called for the scribes and the Pharisees. First, he hears the word preached by these wise men. Then he calls for the scribes and the Pharisees to come preach the word to him. And he believed it. You know why we know he believed it? Because he sent them to go find the baby. Now, it's no great thing to believe the word of God. The devils believe and tremble. But to put your faith in the word of God, that's something else. So Herod wasn't necessarily following God, but he believed what God said. Now, we know that Herod didn't intend to go worship the baby Jesus. He wasn't going to go over to baby Jesus and play his drum for him, pum pum pum, or anything like that. As we found out later, he's going to go and try and kill him. Go and look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. I want you to notice a pattern here. The pattern is this. When you spend time in the Word of God, it points you to Jesus. It's a simple pattern. Get in the Word, you see Jesus. What happens when you see Jesus? You get joy. Does it say you get a life with no problems? Does it say now that you know Jesus, your life is going to be without any problems? No sickness, no disasters, no accidents. Doesn't say that. What do we get? We get joy. We get joy in spite of the problems that we have, in spite of the circumstances. The wise men follow God's word. And where do they arrive? At Jesus. They arrive at his feet. Are you following God's word in your life today? That's the question I've got for you. You don't have to answer that one. I want you to look in your heart, and I want you to ask yourself a question. What are you following? What's driving you? What do you look to every day to guide your life? Is it your heart? A lot of people say, follow your heart. What's the problem with the heart? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Not a good thing to follow your heart. Where's that going to take you? Down. It's going to take you down. That's what I was following when Brian pulled me up out of the pit. Thank God for that. Are you following your goals? A lot of people like to plan, and they're a process people, and they got goals and dreams and visions, and this is where I'm going. And I've done that too. I sat down, I said, I'm going to go to Romania, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to get there, I'm going to reach this many people, I'm going to do that, and then I get there and it all falls apart. can't follow your goals because Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And boy, am I a fool. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And what's our counsel? The Word of God. We've got 66 counselors there. The Bible. So what do you follow in your life? Is it your heart? Is it your goals? Or is it the Bible? Psalm 119, 105. What's that say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what we need to follow. Follow the Word of God. So get up in the morning and get in the Word of God and see where God wants to take you. That was another thing. When I started, I made my big plans for how I was going to plant a church. And as I saw them crumble, I kind of said, you know what? It's okay to make plans. I'm going to make plans. But my real plan is going to be this. I'm going to wake up every day. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to guide me. And I'm going to go out and do what He tells me to do. I'm going to go out and talk to people. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 10. When the wise men, it says here in verse 10, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they saw the star, they saw the fulfillment of the Word of God in their lives. They were following the Word of God. They saw the star above the place where Jesus was. And I want to ask you this question today as well. Ask yourself this question. What's your primary emotion? What's the emotion that, like, day to day, somebody looks at you, if your spouse looks at you, or your kids look at you, or your coworkers look at you, they'd say, what? Well, Doug is just a happy guy, or Doug's just a miserable guy, or Doug's just frustrated all the time. What do people say about you? What's your primary emotion? Is it joy? Or is it misery, or doubt? Frustration, is it boredom, distraction, loneliness, disappointment? If any of those are you, and there's more I could list, but if any of those are you, if it's not joy that's your primary emotion, then we need to look at something here together. You know, a lot of people are disappointed in their spouse. I married this person and just not who I thought they were, and now I'm stuck with them, and I'm miserable, and I've got no joy in my life. That's not me, by the way. I'm just... But I've seen that happen. People that are disappointed. Wow, Romanian words are coming to me because I've got some situations in Romania I've got to deal with from time to time that are related to that. And in any case, so I've seen people disappointed in their spouse because it's not who they thought they were after they married them. Or their children. Their children are growing up and they're not turning out the way they thought they raised them. So they're disappointed. Maybe you're disappointed in your job, that you're not where you want to be in your job. Or maybe the money's not coming in like you want it to be and you're disappointed and you're discouraged. Or maybe it's your church. Maybe you're not happy with your church or your pastor. That happens. But you know what? Your focus is the wrong spot. Psalm 105, verse 3 is why these wise men were filled with joy. Psalm 105, verse 3, it says, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Now, if you're a born-again Christian today, you've got no reason not to get up in the morning and seek the Lord. That ought to be your primary driver every day, to seek the Lord. And when you seek the Lord, again, back to the pattern we've established today, seek the Lord, you'll find him. You'll find Jesus. And with that comes joy. These wise men sought the Lord, and they rejoiced because they found him. If your eyes or your primary focus is on your spouse, your kids, your job, your money, your church, you're going to be frustrated. Because those things are never going to give you joy that comes from the Lord. Every single one of those things are going to fail you. It doesn't mean you don't need to love your spouse, your kids, your job. It doesn't mean you don't need to work hard. But just don't find your fulfillment in those things. Find your fulfillment in Christ. Those things are fallible, failing, and forever frustrating. That was my alliteration for the day. Put your eyes on Jesus every day. Get in the Word. The Word of God, the Bible, will lead you to Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. I've got two more verses in this passage, and then we're going to wrap it up. The wise men, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child of Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. You know, this passage right off the bat, it proves that this wasn't at the manger because it was in a home. They showed up at his house where he was living. So we don't know. He could be anywhere from one day old to 2 years old here. But My point about this passage here is you need to do what these wise men did when you meet Jesus. What did they do? It says right there. When they came in the house, what did they do? They fell down. What does that mean? Well, it means they fell down. I can tell you what it says in the Greek. It says they fell down. They got down on their knees. They got down on their face. That's a sign of surrender. When you meet Jesus, you need to surrender. It doesn't matter what other Christians are doing. As I told my friend Sunday night, he's worried about what other people are doing as Christians. And I took him to where Jesus said, when Peter said, Jesus was talking to Peter after his resurrection. He told Peter, he said, hey, when you're old, this is how you're going to die, this is how you're going to live, this is what's going to happen to you. And Jesus, and Peter was like, yeah, whatever, God. What are you going to do with John? He was worried about the other guy. And he said, you know what? What is that to thee? Follow thou me. Don't worry about other people. Don't worry about other people. Worry about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Fall down, surrender at his feet. What'd they do next? They worshiped him. They worshiped him. They praised him. And the next thing they did is they opened their treasures. They took out their wallets. What did they do when they met Jesus? They surrendered, they worshiped, and they opened their treasures. And the next thing that they did is they gave him their best gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, the most expensive items of their day. What do you think they felt when they did all those things? Do you think they felt like, oh, this really hurts, but I'm going to give you my gold. Oh, I really like this frankincense, whatever that is. I'm going to, I know it's worth money. It really hurts to give it to you, Jesus, but here you go. It's my sacrifice. Is that how they were? No. They were worshiping him. They were filled with love and joy. My point is this. If you fall down and surrender and worship and open your treasures to Jesus, and you do it with a sincere heart, you're not going to be disappointed. You're going to be filled with joy. What if you tried this week? Set your alarm for a few minutes earlier than you normally get up. Or if you just sleep till 5 o'clock in the afternoon like my daughters do. Maybe set it for an hour earlier. I'm sorry, girls. Set your alarm a little bit earlier and get up and do what these disciples, in fact, it's probably what they were, these wise men did. Seek Jesus. Get in the Word of God. Seek him. And when you find him, surrender to him. Surrender your day. Give it all to him. Worship him. Spend a little bit of time praising him for who he is and what he's done for you. And then open your treasures. Say, God, everything I've got is yours. Bring your best gift to him. You may not have gold to give him. Maybe you don't have frankincense and myrrh. But that's not what he wants from you. What does he want from you? He wants your life, first fruits. He wants everything. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's not even anything special. Just give him your life. That's it. What does that look like practically? Well, maybe try that this week. I go to Matthew chapter 2 here and follow that pattern. Fall down, surrender, worship him. Open your treasures up to him. And then when you go to work or when you go throughout your day, follow Colossians 3, verse 22 through 24. Colossians 3, 22 to 24 says this. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Don't work just to make people see how good you are, how hard of a worker you are. Work as unto the Lord. In verse 23, it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily, feverishly, do it with energy, as to the Lord and not to men. Your boss is not your boss. God is your boss. Work for him. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So far my message has had 3 points. God has announced the coming of Jesus by his word, which we have in our language. He speaks to you right where you're at. All you got to do is open yourself up to him, ask him to talk to you, and then open his word. The second thing I talked about was the wise men following the pattern we established, following God's word and arriving at Jesus. So get in the word every day and let it lead you to Jesus and find joy. So that's the third point. Seek the Lord daily and let your heart rejoice in him. Try that experiment. I want to go back and wrap it up with this. That little town of Bethlehem, you know, Herod had called the wise men. He says, where is this king going to be born? And they said, well, the scripture said, what he called the Pharisees and the scribes, the scripture said, and it was in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says this. Micah 5, 2 says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old and from everlasting. It's interesting when he says about Bethlehem that you're just a little city. There's a thousand cities bigger than you. But out of you, I'm going to call my son. I like this because I live in a little town, 18,000 people. 16,000 people 4 years ago. It's growing. And this spring, it's about to become an official suburb of the big city. So we're getting absorbed by the big city. But I like this because Bethlehem was just a little town. And in fact, in Matthew, when he quotes it, he says, you may be a little town, but you're not little, because I've got big plans for you. God chose this little itty-bitty city among all the cities of Judah when he could have chosen an important city like Jerusalem. I mean, that's a city of kings. It's literally the city of David. Why didn't he have Jesus be born out of there? You know, if God were to come down today into this church and say, hey, you know what, I want to turn the world upside down, and I'm going to use Harrisonville. I'm going to reach the world with the gospel. I'm going to turn the world upside down. I'm going to start right here in Harrisonville. Or I'm going to start here in Kansas City. You know, in Romania, when I tell people I'm American, or they hear my accent, where are you from? I say, America. Oh, where at? I say, Kansas City. They're like, huh? Nobody's ever heard of that. They heard of New York and Washington, D.C. and California and Los Angeles. They don't know where Kansas or Missouri is. Don't even know. I said, it's right in the middle. It's where the tornadoes are. Where Dorothy's at, you know. But it's a little place. It's not big on the world map, Kansas City or Harrisonville. But I think God can do big things with a small town. I think God can do big things with a little town like Rishnov in Romania. Romania is kind of a despised country when it comes to Europeans. Europeans look at Romanians as like a lot, you know, if Trump was president of Europe, he'd say, build a wall across Romania so they can't come into Europe. Ironically, since Romania has now become part of the European Union in 2007 we had 21 million people in Romania. When they got the right in 2007 to go anywhere in Europe and live, 3 million people left the country. So we have 18 million people now. And my heart broke when that happened because I'd been to Romania in 1999 and as a missionary, and I wanted to be there when that door opened and have had trained missionaries to go out all over the world. But that's still happening. In Romania right now, everybody wants to leave the country. They want to go into Europe. They want to go to Dubai. They want to go all over the world. And I believe God wants them to be missionaries. So that's what we're trying to do where we're at, is train them to be missionaries. It'd make more sense for God to use a key city like Jerusalem or New York or something, but you know what? God uses the small things, and you know why that is? Well, let me say this as well. When Jesus trained up his disciples, what kind of people did he pick?
Sinners.
Sinners? What kind of jobs did they have? Were they celebrities? Fishermen, tax collectors, sinners, just normal everyday people. If it was today, you'd think that he would pick, by the American mindset, you'd think he'd pick a celebrity or a politician or a scientist or somebody smart. No, he chose the fisherman. He chose the average guy. He chose you and he chose me. Nobody special. Just like he chose Bethlehem, he chooses us to take his word into all the world. Why does he do that? This is the last verse and we'll close. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren. 1 Corinthians 1:26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Bethlehem is just a weak little city, but he used that to bring his son into the world. God, the God that created the universe, chose to come and inhabit this planet, become a man, but he came in the form of a baby, a weak thing. He's chosen the small things, the weak things of the world to confound the wise. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, yea, have God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring not the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. It's not us. This story is not about us, guys. The story that God has written for our lives is not about us. It's about Jesus. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in this. Let him glory in the Lord. God has chosen the little things of the world. He's chosen you and me to take his light to a lost and dying world. So let me close with this. When you open the Word of God and you see Jesus and you get that joy, what are you going to do with it? Take it and give it to others. Be a light in the world. That God gets the glory because he deserves the credit, because he is worthy, because it's not about us. No flesh should glory in his presence. Let's pray.